Chair will call the meeting to order and ask the, that the roll call be called, establish a quorum.
Trustee Finney?
Present.
Trustee Tolliver? Trustee Hill?
Here.
Trustee Montez?
Present.
Trustee Sutton?
Here.
Chair will that the quorum does this. Now, what I'm saying a minute. Did you verify that the meeting is,
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and the Academic Library buildings.
Thank you very much. We now will entertain the previous meeting's minutes.
I move that the minutes of our previous last meeting be approved.
It's been moved, is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and second that the meeting minutes from the previous meeting be adopted, received, all in favor, motion signified by the other side. Oh, wait a minute, you want to have a roll call on that? Okay.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
So ordered. Now I have the interim president's report.
Good morning and thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Board of Trustees. During the past several months, we have continued to bring the university campus together around the 10 expectations and goals that will lead to the development of a draft of a planning process that would be available for the new administration and members of the board. I express profound thanks to the president's executive team, our faculty, students, for their unselfish assistance in this effort. And as usual, Mr. Chair, members of the board received a written version of my report. But as you can see, we continue to find ways to develop that draft of the inclusive planning process to enhance the image and visibility of the university, to improve relationships with the alumni and foundation boards, to review and strengthen and create new academic program offerings and find appropriate space for housing them. We continue to identify priorities for spending and ways to reduce costs, to hire and replace needed personnel, to enhance enrollment and improve retention, to support athletics. We continue to implement the revised admissions standards to enhance enrollment and retention. Well, we also developed a stimulus funding package for Chicago State University. And as I indicated, the past several months, members of PEC and the internal committee on finance identified priorities to support goals and objectives. And this assisted us very much so in developing our stimulus funding priorities. A small group chaired by Dr. Rachel Lindsay has prepared the stimulus funding document that has been discussed by members of PEC and shared with the members of the faculty yesterday. And we would like to share with the Board of Trustees this morning the priorities identified in the stimulus package. And I've asked Dr. Lindsay to provide a summary of that proposal. Dr. Lindsay.
Thank you.
you, Dr. Polk. The committee to develop the stimulus funding priorities met several times and exchanged ideas and perspectives about the best priorities to serve Chicago State University that were consistent with the priorities of the stimulus package. On the first page, you see a list of the 8 areas where we are proposing to ask for funding, and they include enrollment, retention, and college affordability as the first priority, which is consistent with the expectations and other planning approaches that the university has been engaging in. The emphasis on enrollment and retention is also affected or represented by what's in the stimulus package and the emphasis on higher education and affordability for students, the increases in the Pell Grants, etc. The next is modernization. Obviously, to all, the campus has experienced, as many campuses in Illinois have experienced, problems with deferred maintenance, but general modernization is also important for us. These approaches will not only make the campus better, but also more efficient in terms of the energy usage, and they address important concerns having to do with the overall appearance of the campus and its attractiveness to potential students, as well as its functioning for those of us who live and work here every day. Technology and information, I might add, in terms of modernization, problems there have also been affected by a lack of capital funding in the state of Illinois. Technology and information resource base, there are several projects, 3 in fact, that are in this area having to do with improving our computer and information technology capability. They include iWire, they include rewiring for more efficient and effective use of the technology that we do already have, and a request for the library to improve its resources, both in terms of technology and holdings. The next is research infrastructure. This is an important area for all, and it focuses on modernization of several areas, including a build-out of the areas needed for the College of Pharmacy. That project was delayed because of the lack of a capital bill, and therefore it's necessary, particularly for their accreditation, but it includes resources for infrastructure for the College of Arts and Sciences as well as the College of Health Sciences. Next is Homeland Security. We already have an online certificate program. We are requesting, and it is listed under institutional collaboration, funding to expand that to a master's program. That we think is also extremely important relative to what's going on nationally and the emphasis nationally on Homeland Security. Institutional collaboration includes several projects, and they focus on a variety of important needs, not only for the university, but they too are consistent with the kinds of things that have been stated in the from the Obama administration. The first is the Family Consumer Sciences Teacher Preparation Program, and that goes along with the Urban Teacher Education Program. The second focuses on high needs areas, including STEM discipline, special education, and bilingual education. The next is that graduate online certificate program I mentioned before in Homeland Security. The next is the Urban Studies undergraduate degree, which is an interdisciplinary degree that pulls from the College of Arts and Sciences and the College of Education. The next is the CSU Foundation request for funds for a Center for Community Engagement that will focus on working with surrounding community areas, connecting them with the university and attempting to address their needs. And the last is the International Center for Integrated Interethnic Studies in Cultural Science and Mathematics. That may sound like a mouthful, but in reality, it focuses on a new direction of reviewing science that is in the NSF guidelines. These are all interinstitutional, interdisciplinary kinds of projects, and they cross a variety of colleges. The next is energy, fuel cell, and green technology. Obviously, we can do some things to improve the energy usage on the campus. But in addition, we are focusing on energy research. We already have a Center for Alternative Energy Technology, and we are looking at how to expand what we do in that area and green technologies. There's perhaps the opportunity for Chicago State to become a laboratory about focusing on retrofitting aging campuses to make them more energy conservative. So that one is an important one and builds on what we are already doing in a variety of areas. And the last is a variety of projects in health sciences that is consistent with directions that they are already taking around health disparities, including HIV/AIDS. The total for all of these requests comes to about $156 million. And they will be, the requests will be funneled through the state as well as the federal government.
Mr. Chair, that concludes my report. The stimulus priorities, frankly, are arranged in priority. So that followed a rather extensive discussion yesterday with members of staff. But that concludes my report, Mr. Chair, and we are available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. President. Are there any questions to the report of the President?
I have a question. What is, so now that we've done these priorities, what is the process and the timing? What do we expect to happen in terms of the funding? What, how much approval does it have to happen, and where do you, you know, where does our?
According to report from Dr. Irma Brooks Williams, there has already been a request from the state legislature for what our priorities are. In terms of the federal government, various agencies have their guidelines already located on their website, indicating the procedures to request funding from NSF and NIH.
So this requires the submission of several different grants to different agencies, or?
Some of them do, but most of them will go directly to the state legislature.
But our goal is to get this document out of here today, if any way possible today.
Any more questions on this? If not, I would say this. This seems to be something that's encouraging, but as we have experienced in the past, for the staff to and administration and management to bring matters that are weighty before this Board of Trustees and then ask us, without really having a time to digest them, rush and approve them, because we got to submit it. I have not received one call from any member of this administration discussing any of these items. And now this Board of Trustees is asked right now, vote it up and send it on. I, for one, am only one member of this Board of Trustees, but that's just not the way I think that we should continue to operate this school. We got ourselves in a lot of trouble in previous administrations by bringing things before the Board of Trustees, weighty stuff, and this is $156 million, and we're asked to vote it up now so we can send it on, and no one has a chance to digest it. That, to me, is not the way to do business. What you might want to do is to say, look, this needs to be considered. We need to have a special meeting with the Board of Trustees, and if the Board of Trustees can convene and have a special meeting where you can talk about it. Some of these materials should have gone to the Finance and Audit and Facilities Committee. Some should have gone to the Academic and Affairs Committee. We have a committee structure to work through. And for the staff to bring this before us seems to mean kind of putting the board in a position of being a rubber stamp and a fait accompli sort of situation. But I'll listen to the other board members, what they have to say, but I wanted, want you to know where the chairman at this particular point sees this particular thing. It's not that it is the, that the ideas here don't have merit, but we don't have time to digest them. The staff has had time to digest them, go over them, think about them. But we are, at the end of the day, the statutory body that has to act on all of this.
Mr. Chair, let me say as the, not too long to be interim chair, I mean interim president. My hope really was that we were bringing this to the board for information. I was not bringing this to the board to vote on. But if we are now being told or instructed that it would require a vote of the board, not just for information, then please know that we will withdraw this document and make sure that we go through the process you described. We will do that.
But you know what? Because I was also involved in terms of the workshop that was held by Congressman Rush, in terms of the immediacy, as it refers to our reacting to what they are proposing, and I don't see where it's necessary for the board to vote upon this. It is information, and it's almost like anything that staff will come up with that we are to micromanage and vote on it. This is simply a recommendation. It's an immediate recommendation that needs to be acted upon, because that money coming into the state, if you understand the politics of how the state works, we probably won't end up with too much of it. But it's, to me, very important that we at least have our request in terms of what it is that we would like to see, how Chicago State can benefit. So I really appreciate this information, and I would simply recommend that you go ahead and follow through, because time is of importance when it comes to wanting to be able to receive just a little bit of this stimulus money.
Any other members of the Board of Trustees? They have a comment. Well, I don't see it as information, because you said that you wanted to get this out of the door today. And it seems to me that you're soliciting funds from the various agencies. Who gets this? Where would it go?
Dr. Williams?
Senator Trotter. But I can call Senator Trotter's office and tell it, and let him know that the board needs to review it before it goes forward.
Let me get it straight then. We are not we are not responding to an RFP.
No.
We're responding to a request from a senator who represents the state of Illinois
right.
in the General Assembly, who has asked us to do what?
To submit the request to him, like we normally do once the budget proposal has been approved by the board. And it's
well, okay, so that would then be a approved budget that was submitted by the board, which
right.
makes sense.
Yeah, this is an approved budget. This is a budget.
I'm sorry?
This is a budget, yes.
But my point is, therefore, does this, what do we ask to do? This is sort of just some paper that's put down there with no rule or with no authority behind it from the Board of Trustees? Is that what it's supposed to be?
And I guess, you know, from my perspective, this is no different from the other budget requests that we submit. You know, and these proposals do have to come before the board before they go to the General Assembly.
And what is the board supposed to do?
The board normally approves the budget requests.
Which means the board, in reality, is the board supposed to vote on this?
Yes.
So, therefore, it's not declaring information only. It is now requiring the board to
right,
vote.
It should, yes.
Mr. Chair, it would have been great to have known that as the interim president. Dr. Brooks Williams sat with, she sits on the executive team. she sat with the committee. She sat with us yesterday. This is the first time I've heard that this proposal requires board approval.
Well, based upon Dr. Finney's query, I'm thinking through the process now. So I concur. So obviously, a special meeting can be held to deal with this issue.
Is there a time frame in terms of when we are supposed to submit this information to Senator Trotter?
Well, it's my understanding, you know, based upon the general legislative process, they're not going to approve a budget until May 30th or June 30th. You know, but he wanted some preliminary information from us. So and we do have time based upon...
We have time, but it's good, especially since Senator Trotter is head of appropriations. It's best for us to get into him as soon as possible so that we will be considered a priority with him.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that our Senate approach meeting with Senator Trotter probably will be held the end of March or the 1st of April. So we do have time based upon the legislative process to have a special meeting to review this request and get it to him, based upon the normal process of submission of our budget.
Now, I'm not sure why this would be, I'm not sure why this would be any different from any other budget submission that everybody has to review.
Exactly.
Maybe there's a way that you can do both things. If Senator Trotter wants some preliminary information, it may be that you could put a cover letter on it and say, we're trying to respond in an expeditious manner to your request for information. This is developed by staff but has not been approved by the board. It's a outline of what the board may approve, but the board reserves right to change this after it's been staffed through the proper board committees. So we're just giving this to you as an information item of the type of things that we may well be shooting for, but we're going to, at our next meeting or at some other meeting, we're going to act on a final document. And that would at least give him something that he wants, some preliminary information with appropriate notice that this has not been approved by the board. So he has something to look at and think about, and then it can be staffed through the academic affairs, and that's just a suggestion on my part. Yeah.
And the next meeting of the finance is what, April 8th? So we can immediately get it to him after the board approves it, and then a special meeting could do it that way.
Yeah. Let me just say this. I'd like to. I think that Mark has. Mark Dunn, our counsel, has raised an interesting approach to this. And I have three comments. Number one, I drove all the way to Springfield last week to appear before the House Committee on Higher Education. And the House Committee on Higher Education had before it a resolution which would have compelled the Board of Trustees to meet monthly because they raised serious questions as to the board exercising prudent oversight as per the statute over the affairs of this university. Dr. Pope was there with me, and they took us to task with respect to audit findings as well as with respect to budget items, and the fact that in many instances they questioned severely the board exercising its fiduciary responsibility, not micromanaging, but exercising its fiduciary responsibilities. Representative Monique Davis was there, Representative Murray Flowers was there, and Chairman Bolin, of course, chaired the meeting, and a Republican on the committee, Mr. Representative Pritchard. Not in each instance, I did the best I could to make the members of the General Assembly in this particular committee on higher education feel that we, as a Board of Trustees, would in fact act in a manner as to assure that we exercise all of the fiduciary responsibilities as Board of Trustees. So, fellow board members, while I didn't get a chance to say this to you earlier, because you know, we're right here in the agenda, and I didn't expect this this way. That's why I reacted the way I did to this particular matter coming before us in this particular form. The last thing that I wanted to do was to ever try to macromanage this this school as a chairman. And as you know, Mr. Dr. Polk can say this, from since December when I last we had our last meeting to now, I've had exactly three meetings with him, and most of those the latter part of February, and the first of March, and now. So I'm not here to try to micromanage anything, but I am here to try to be responsive to a matter that came before the House Higher Education Committee as it relates to the Board of Trustees of Chicago State University exercising its governance prerogatives and fiduciary responsibilities over the staff. And that was really the issue. It had nothing to do with the neighborhood or the community. It was to have oversight and governance over the staff of this institution. Now, fortunately, I received a letter from Representative Monique Davis. I was looking for it just a moment ago, in which she advised me that because of the presentation that I made there, that she was withdrawing the resolution, which would have, had it passed the committee, would have gone to the full House of Representatives, mandating that the Board of Trustees of Chicago State University meet monthly so that it would exercise prudent oversight of the affairs of this institution. And so that's kind of what I have to say in terms of why this particular chairman at this particular moment is particularly sensitive to matters that may go forward without the Board of Trustees having an opportunity to review them carefully before they go forward. Having said that, I think that Mark Dunn, our attorney, has come forth with a way to do this. And the way to do it would be not to not to act on it at this particular point, but to send it forth with the proper cover letter that perhaps he can craft for us, which clearly indicates that it's for information only, that it's subject to change, that it will be vetted through the CSU committee structure, CSU Board of Trustees committee structure, and once it has been vetted through that committee structure, we'll then have the force of the Board of Trustees with an approval attended to it, and that would be subsequent to the day. Now that seems to me to be the way out of this.
I would support Attorney Dunn's recommendation. I don't know, I have a question. When was this request from Senator Trotter received?
Well, essentially after the economic stimulus package was announced.
I mean, how many days ago was it received? How many weeks?
Probably a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was time at least to alert the board that this would be forthcoming, correct?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in process, and that's the point I'm getting at, that, you know, if there was 2 weeks available, we certainly should have been informed of its urgency. We may not have had time to discuss it in depth, but that's when I think what Attorney Dunn said comes into play. I, like probably Dr. Finney, have had my state legislator call me from the floor of the House when they're trading deals to say, look, I can't get you X, but I can get you Y. Will you accept it? And I've got to make a decision and then tell my board. So there are situations where we know there's an urgency, but we should at all measures try to follow the process. So it seems to me that what should have happened is that we had been alerted. We got to get something in immediately. I agree with Trustee Montez. We probably won't get much. But if he doesn't have something to react to start trading horses, nothing is going to happen. So I would support Attorney Dunn's recommendation.
I also support Attorney Dunn's recommendation.
Okay. Then the chair will, let's have this in a formal way. The board, I would like to have a resolution that we would treat this matter in effect as information only, that we would craft a correspondence to be attached as a cover to the document that will be presented to Senator Donnie Trotter, that would indicate clearly that these are ideas at this particular point, and that they have not yet been thoroughly vetted through the Board of Trustees, but we would, and that the Board of Trustees will vet them through its standing committee structure, and subsequently will act upon them and formally have a resolve behind whatever we ultimately believe should go forward. Something like that, I think, will meet all concerns. And again, I want to thank the Vice Chairman who helps to embellish this particular situation as he has reviewed the question of due process on our side. And we just have to do it. So if I can get any one of the members to make that motion and give me a second, we can move forward and get on.
Well, I so move.
I second.
Moved and second.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Reynolds, I'm sorry, Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
So ordered.
Mr. Chair, that ends my report.
Okay, now we have Academic Affairs Committee.
The Academic Affairs Committee met on February 4th. There are no action items coming out of it. We discussed the change in the admissions requirements, and there was an extensive discussion about those. We were assured that those new requirements, which basically provide a balance between GPA and ACT scores, would be in effect for all admissions going forward. That was the primary.
Trustee Hill, there seems to be, on this particular matter, there seems to be some confusion. And I'm new to this chair and relatively new to the Board of Trustees. But you've been here for a number of years. As I understood this particular matter, that with respect to a change in the criteria of admission criteria, the board in fact did vote to approve the changes in the standards for admission. And what was your sense of the timeliness of the implementation of this?
My sense at that meeting was that a tool had been put in place that would expedite the evaluation of student applications, so that it would be much easier to determine who did in fact meet the new requirements, and that that was now available for use by the admissions staff, and that it was being implemented immediately for all forthcoming applications.
Okay. Attorney Dunn, could you advise the Board of Trustees as to your understanding of the law, which or the statute which governs actions by the Board of Trustees? Is it your, does the Board of Trustees have the authority to engage in approving and or directing the admission standards for, or admission criteria for this university? And if there are limitations, could you advise us as to what those limitations are?
Yes, this may be more long-winded than you want, but I think sometimes it never hurts to review what the law is and how things are set up. And I think it's probably complementary to what you said about what you faced with the Higher Education Committee, and particularly their expectations of the board. The reason that they have expectations of the board and why the board is ultimately accountable is that all of the Illinois State Universities that used to be part of the Board of Governors or the Board of Regents now have their own individual laws that establish those entities. And literally, the entity that is created by law is the board. The Board of Trustees of Chicago State University is defined in the statute as an arm and agency of the state of Illinois to govern a university which is located at a place or named as Chicago State University. So the legal responsibility and the statute says that it's the board that is to operate, manage, and control the university. Now, the way the board accomplishes this is through a series of bylaws which govern its own internal operations, how the board itself is going to act during its meeting, a set of regulations which have a legal import, that is, that the regulations are legally enforceable in, where they're not just advisory by their terms, but where they create rights for people, they're legally enforceable, and a set of governing policies that are not the same as a regulation insofar as the law is concerned. They have lesser legal effect, but they announce policies that the board intends to follow. Now, with respect to the statute first and the question of admissions, the statute that creates the board does have a section in it. I think it's 5285, but I may be off on the number, but it's the same provision basically that's in all the statutes that created the governing boards for Northeastern, Governor State, Western, Eastern, that sets admission standards that must be met in order for students to be admitted, what criteria they have to meet. And then it also provides for some fairly broad exceptions that the board can approve to the statutorily set admission standards, basically because I think the legislature and people understand that not everyone is going to have the opportunity to meet the statutorily created standards, but they may be entitled to an education, and that the school can modify and broaden its admission standards in those specifically statutorily described exceptions. So what, insofar as the statute is concerned, and the way I understand what the board did and adopted in December, it is consistent with the statutory requirements. It is not outside the statutory requirements. Now, what's the next thing that you would typically look at when you're talking about admission standards? Well, generally speaking, you're looking at now at the governing policies. What do they say? And one of the very important things, I think, for the board to keep in mind, because it relates to all the people who are sitting here watching, is that the board endorses a concept of shared governance. That is, it believes that the various constituencies of the university, faculty, civil service, administrative employees, departments, colleges, and so forth, should participate in the decision making about important subjects that are brought before the board. Because most of the operation of the board that the board has is delegated to the president and by the president down to people that serve there. So what the board wants, and I think what the chair has often said and repeated today, is we want that shared governance, but to be shared, we have to know. We can't just come here and rubber stamp. We want you, I think this is what you're saying, to bring ideas forward to us, such as the stimulus funding priorities. We want to endorse those, but sharing contemplates not only you, the people that are out here helping to develop these things as delegated by the president, but giving them to the board in a way that the board can understand and digest them and ultimately exercise its responsibility, which is a statutory responsibility, to operate, manage, and control the university. So I hope this is an adequate explanation. I haven't gone off the reservation.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Council. I think that the major issue that I wanted to reinforce, and coming from Trustee Hill in terms of her tenure as the board chairperson, immediate past, I just wanted to make sure that we were clear that the board was not overstepping its bounds when it approved and adopted the criteria that was set forth as it related to the admission requirements. And while Attorney Dunn sort of summarized my request, I have a memorandum from him thoroughly reviewing this whole matter that's 20 pages long. But at the end of the day, the board's action that was taken with respect to the admission criteria was within our statutory prerogatives, and Council Dunn has indicated to me in writing that resolution was duly adopted and binding upon the management of this university as it relates to the implementation. And so we expect, going back to Trustee Hill, who conducted a academic affairs meeting, at which there was presentation and assurances that the admission standards would be adhered to. The board fully expects the standards to be implemented timely, in time for the academic year that is begins, I believe it's August or September of 2009. And let me further say, fellow members of the Board of Trustees, on this narrow matter, before the House of Representatives Committee on Higher Education, when queried about the finances of this institution, this is what I indicated. We know that we are in difficult times. We know that the cost of operating the university continues to escalate. We know that appropriations are going down, and we know that our revenue is flat. We have recently had an opportunity to revise our admission standards because our enrollment has eroded over a number of years. And we have thereby new standards that could help enrollment and increase enrollment. That there were a possible 400 applicants that did not receive our approval for admission for this next academic year, that we've asked the staff to review every one of those applications to see if there's some that we denied admission to that could be admissible for the purpose of receiving additional tuition revenue. That I was aware that there was a good possibility that coming out of the General Assembly, we would be appropriated maybe 10% less than our last appropriation, which could mean that we would have to absorb a $6 million reduction in revenue coming into the school. That in the event we could admit under the new criteria all 400 applicants, that would possibly generate another $4 million. That could possibly offset revenue losses that could be coming forth out of the drop in appropriations. I further indicated that I was positive, I was sure, because the president of the university, plus the provost was there, plus Dr. Johnson was there, who oversees admission. I was comfortable that the new admission standards would be used and applied. And what I further said is this: I'm not interested in staff layoffs. The teachers are protected because we've got a collective bargain agreement. So if we have to take a cut, where do we cut? Who do we cut out? What do we not pay? And so for me, it gets down to being one of revenue versus expenses. And I've not been given any assurances that we will not suffer this next year in as it relates to appropriations. And so if we can't increase our revenue and our expenses keep going up, how do we exercise good fiduciary responsibility? It seemed to me that we had to try to see if there was a revenue source that we could make things happen with. Now, as we look at that, be mindful
that I'm not against the stimulus plan, but the stimulus plan, in terms of the money that would be there, it's not fungible. What does that mean? It's not fungible. Whatever we get out of the stimulus plan will have to be spent for the stimulus plan's elements. We cannot take the stimulus plan money and replace money that we lose someplace else, because the stimulus plan will carry its own set of expenses. So it's not like somebody saying, we'll give you $156 million new money and you can, and discretionary, and you can do whatever you want to do with it. We've got one of our chief executives right now in the newspaper today for doing that. So that's not what we're talking about doing. So I just want to be real clear. I probably talked about this too much, but I am somewhat frustrated that that it seems to be, when we talk about moving forward with respect to the admissions, it seems that we might not be real clear, and I don't want to have to face a grim situation June 30th or July 1, 2009, that we've got to effect massive cuts here, and people will lose their jobs at a time when we're trying to find jobs. The Academic Affairs Committee has given its report. Are there any further questions? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to receive it.
I have one other item that I just was reviewing my notes. At the time of the meeting, Dr. Polk, you and Dr. Westbrooks, I think, reported that you had received recommendations for an honorary degree, and I don't know if there was something else that would require board action. Certainly an honorary degree would, and I don't see anything on the agenda today regarding that. And I think I had notes that we were going to hear something and be acting on something at this board meeting.
I think the original plan was just that. We withdrew that recommendation that would be coming to the board.
Okay.
We withdrew that, so it is not being brought to the board.
All right, thank you. That's
cool. Chair will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
Finance, Affairs, and Faculty, and an audit. I think Trustee Reynolds was not able to be here. He's not here today. I do not believe there is a material matter to bring before the board with respect to that committee. Civil Service Merit?
They met in February. I was out of the country and didn't attend the meeting, so I have no report.
Presidential Search?
The presidential search, I think, is on track, as everyone is aware. The next step is that, as our outline dictates, the board has narrowed the list of finalists to five individuals who will be invited for an airport interview, although it's not being held at the airport, on March 20th. And from that process, a number will be then invited to the campus for the larger campus community to interact with in preparation for the board making a final decision. That's it.
Student trustee report?
Mr. Chairman, at the next meeting, a more comprehensive report from myself will be available, but not today.
Okay. Public employees, public and employee comments?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. How much time do I have?
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
How much time?
Not much, because we've got to go into executive session.
Got it. For the record, Philip Beverly, History, Philosophy, Political Science Department, faculty. At our last faculty senate meeting, we had a couple representatives from the Presidential Search Advisory Committee report back to that body, because we were involved in the process selection for faculty being appointed to that body to serve. And so we thought it'd be a responsible thing to do to have them tell us sort of how things are going. And I think everybody in our body understands that the responsibility for actual hiring resides with the board. Some of us have actually read the act that Attorney Dunn referenced this morning. In the spirit of shared governance, though, there was some concern that actual collaboration and consultation hasn't actually been occurring. And there was some dismay. So the place that I think we got to is that if we're going to have a process be transparent, that's great. If we're going to have it be opaque, that's great. But the illusion of transparency is disingenuous. And so I would recommend that if the body is not going to be consulted with in a genuine way, I recommend that you disband it and move as you will, which might actually expedite the process. Thank you.
The only comment is that we have been moving forward. I think it was brought to my attention at the last meeting when I asked, are there any questions? That was my intent to say, are there any public comments? And nobody said anything. And then after the meeting, there was some uproar that I didn't allow an opportunity for people to ask or make comments. So there was some miscommunication in what I meant. But certainly the process is not opaque. I did say, are there any questions? I didn't read, now is the opportunity for public comment. But that certainly was the intent. So there's nothing opaque, and all these are very general words. Just as I used a general word, our speaker used very general words that are up to individual interpretation. So we will continue to follow the process as it has been outlined. Keep in mind the final candidates will be invited to the campus, and there'll be plenty of opportunity for interaction. But there's no ill intent anywhere on anybody's part not to follow the process. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Melanie Jones. And
you said slowly so that the transcriber can get
it. My name is Melanie Jones, and I'm a current student here.
Yes, ma'am.
And I had a question or two about the changing of the criteria for admissions. The first question is, by using this new criteria, are we technically dumbing down our university? Anybody can answer that.
There was extensive discussion about that at the academic affairs meeting, and the conclusion was that is absolutely not the case, that we are adamant about admitting to the university those potential prospective students who can be successful here. We have no wish to invite people here who can't be successful. And that, in fact, we, will be a stronger university as a result of the revised criteria.
And also, I raised the question at the last meeting of what about the academic support some students may need as a result of revising the criteria. And I was assured that that academic support would be there to help ensure their success. Individual motivation, in the end, is what's going to carry the day for anybody who meets the criteria for admission.
If we're currently in a deficit, how are we going to provide that academic support to them?
I can answer that. Our provost, Dr. Sandra Westbrook, is right here. Mm-hmm. She has a detailed outline plan to assist not only the students that that we may admit, but a lot of our students already, or many of our students I know already, that require additional support and assistance.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Westbrook, I'm sure, will be willing to discuss in great detail with you and assure you that we have the capacity to provide support to any of the new enrollees as well as existing enrollees or people who have been admitted to make sure that they are retained. We are challenged here, mm-hmm, to make sure that we retain students.
Right.
And many students that come in with high ACTs and high GPAs don't make it through. And that goes back to what Dr. Tolliver refers to, and that's motivation. And so this is not, I share with the fellow members of the Board of Trustees, this is not a dumb down. What this is an effort to make sure that we provide equal opportunity for students that could qualify. Okay? Thank you very much.
One more. Is there anything wrong with admissions taking a more aggressive role at recruiting students who actually meet the criteria, the current criteria? And the reason I ask that is, over the summer, I had an event at my church, actually, church-sponsored, and I went to admissions in well enough time to ask for a representative to come out and speak to the kids there. I was told, since you're a student, since you're an employee, here's some flyers, hand them out, you do it. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, turned away potential. I mean, I can't sell the university only from the standpoint that I have, but it took away, to me, the professionalism when I showed up and there was Kennedy King on the right and, can't think of the other university on the left, but they, you know, were well prepared, and I'm in the middle, and I'm acting in a capacity I know nothing about. So, is there a way that admissions can act more aggressively with enrolling students that qualify?
Well, let me say this. I think that gets to the place of the staff, and rather than wade in trying to answer that question, I would want to defer to Dr. Westbrook and or Dr. Pope.
Well, I've heard of something similar to that, okay? But we've had extensive discussions about that same issue of making sure that we have outreach and admissions people represented. Yesterday, at our executive team meeting, Dr. Johnson presented the enrollment and retention plan. And we would be delighted to show you that plan because it has, as the trustee chair just said, it has a laundry list of ways the admissions office will be involved in the future. So we can certainly talk about that.
Okay.
Also, it's not unusual. Some of my alma maters have a practice of contacting alumni in various regions because they don't have the capacity, or you have to look at efficiencies of dollars and resources, lots of things, and say, will you represent us as an alum at this event? So it's not unusual to ask another stakeholder to represent the university at such an event.
Well, I don't think I did bad, but I think that, everybody on the right and left of me were more prepared than I.
If being asked to represent, then you have to be equipped to represent, too.
There you go. All righty. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Hi, good morning. I'm a returning student here, as some of you may know. Well, of course, you should know. I'm also a former legislative agent state rep. So I'm very concerned about the timeliness as it concerns monies directed towards with the General Assembly. And my question is, what strategies? I have several questions. The first question is, what are the strategies that have been developed to market CSU as it concerns Illinois General Assembly members, since we have at least 9 who are alumni of this school, so that we can get more than just a few crumbs in terms of as it concerns the budget for higher education? Secondly, my other question is, in terms of the changing of the rolling admission standards, because we need the money, have we gotten any type of informal or formal go-aheads in terms of that we will first receive some money from the economic stimulus package? Because the 1,100 pages I had to read for class, it's sort of, it's up to the governor's office.
That's right.
Well, let me just simply say this. In a word, there are no guarantees at this particular point in this recessionary economy. I do believe that I, along with other members of the Board of Trustees, as well as administration and some of our staff, we will work aggressively to obtain additional funds, either from the state or from the federal government, that are part of the president's economic stimulus
plan. So there's no strategy?
I'm sorry?
Is there a strategy set in place already? Because right now time is moving. The way that they're doing question was,
wait a minute. Do you want me to respond, or you want to make another statement? If you don't want to make another statement.
I'd just like you to respond.
Okay.
In terms of the strategy question.
Okay, but my point is this: I'm going to respond, but we're not going to debate this.
Of course.
Okay. So my point is very simply that we, as a
board of member, as a mem- we as members of the Board of Trustees will work using our relationships with members of the General Assembly, as well as the governor, to secure as much of the economic stimulus resources, or as many of the resources as we possibly can. We have a lobbying strategy that is in place, and people designated to do that.
Thank you.
Both on the staff as well as in on the board. So that's about the best I can do.
Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, Michael, I don't know if you're aware, in terms of marketing to members of the Illinois General Assembly, a few years ago, we established a program to work with members of the General Assembly to work with them to bring students who live in their district to Chicago State University, particularly with the Southwest and in the South Suburbs. And on April 3rd, 300 students from Senator Maloney District will be coming here to look at Chicago State as a possibility. So we are working with Miller, Will Davis, McCarthy. So many legislators have bought into this program.